Today's shiur, we're going to discuss Christianity and how it's related to the Western world, and specifically Esav. So in order to understand that, we understand a little bit about Esav, right? Okay, so we see from Chazal that when Rivka was giving birth, Chazal say that she didn't know what was happening to her. She saw that when she was standing at Beit Avodah Zarah, places of idol worship, the child wanted to come out. When she was standing in Bati Midrashim, in places of Torah learning, Yaakov wanted to come out. So she went and asked the Shaila. She went and asked the Shaila to shame, and he told her that she has two nations in her womb. And they're two opposite nations. When this one rises, the other one falls. And when this one rises, the other one falls. Okay, the Pasuk says, V'yitrotzitzu habanim b'kirba. They were like running inside of her. Moving inside of her. V'toma imken lama zeh anochi. What is this for me? V'telech lidroshet Hashem. And she went to ask Hashem. As our Rashi explains, right? To Shem and Eva, and they told her, V'yomen, Hashem la, Shnei al-dei nevuah, Shnei goyim v'bitnech, you have two nations in your stomach, U'shnei le'umim, and two malchuts, mime'ayech yiparedu, from your stomach they will separate, U'le'um le'um ye'emaz, and that means that whoever, only one of them, Lu'um is Lashon Malchus. Only one will be, the Malchus of one will be in the world, will be strong in the world. When the Malchus of one is strong, the other one is weaker. V'rabi avot tzair. And the tachlis is, the older, which would be Esav, is going to serve the younger. Alright. So that's, then we see that Esav is born first, he's the firstborn. Right? And Yaakov holds on to his heel. And from that, he gets the name Yaakov. Yeah, you all familiar? Yeah, okay, it's important. V'yetzeh arishon admoni. The first one came out, admoni is red, redhead. Kulo kader tzar. He was filled with hair. Right? V'kra'u shmo Esav. His name was called Esav. Esav means made. He was complete. He was complete. He was complete. That he had hair. He was a complete person, in this sense, not complete spiritually, complete physically. V'achalken yatsa achiv, his brother came out. V'yado chesed be'ek be'akev Esav, and his hand was holding on to the heel of Esav. V'yikrashmo Yaakov, and his name will be called Yaakov. That's the name of holding on to the heel of Esav. That was his name. Right? Yitzhak was 60 years when he gave birth to them. Right? Now Chazal explained, just as Avram Avinu had that which was bad in him and it came out with Hagar, that's the solid, the bad of Avram came out in Yishmael. That's the bad of Chesed is Yishmael. The bad of Din is Esav. And that's the solid of Yitzhak. Yaakov, who will be called Yisrael when he fights Sarah of Esav, and he later on will see he wins. Esav does have an effect on him. Then he gets his full name Yisrael. Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael is called Eretz Yisrael, the land of Israel, right? Yisrael means Yashar Kel, straight with God. That's the name of Yaakov. So we see that Yaakov has two names, right? The Sarit also, that means Loshon Sarut, Loshon of minister, he fought the minister of Esav and he defeated him, right? That's where Yaakov got his name. It's going to be later on. Yitzchak Ahavet Esav, Chazal, the Chumash says, Kitzayit V'piv. He used to feed him or he used to lie to him. How do you do Truma and Maisa on Melach? He used to ask him questions and he thought that he was living a proper life. Although from Chazal we see that Esav and Yitzhak and Rivka knew very well about the Avodah Zorah that Esav did in his life. Yeah? So it's a little bit needs to understand. The purpose, the Jewish people were supposed to come out from Esav and Yaakov. Just as you have a Yisachar v'Zvulun, Yisachar is the person sitting and learning, and Zvulun is the person going out into the world and fixing the physical world, and making a Kiddush Hashem, and bringing a Parnassah for Zvulun, who's called to Kula Torah, who's completely Torah. So that was supposed to be the purpose. The purpose was, Esav was going to be in the world, right? That's why he was more physical. He was complete in the physical world. And Yaakov was going to be Ishtam, Yoshev Olim. Yaakov was going to be dealing with the spiritual world. Vayibez Esav at the Bechorah. We'll see later on that Esav didn't want to be the Bechor and to be in charge of the physical world and bring the physical world to Yaakov and him being involved in taking that physical world and turning it into spirituality. I sit and learn in Torah, right? Like Yisachar v'Zvulun. You understand the concept of Yisachar v'Zvulun, right? The person is a person learning, sitting in Eretz Israel learning Torah, and someone in America working, right? And he is not unable to learn Torah, not to the extent of the person sitting in Eretz Israel. So he helps and he supports the person sitting, so we have a next generation of Torah learners who can teach and who can bring the Torah to the new generation, right? So that was the purpose of Esav and Yaakov. Esav had a tremendous purpose. His purpose was to deal with the physical world and bring it and be Mefarnes Yaakov and be a Kiddush Hashem in the world. But Esav didn't want it. He didn't want the Bechorah, Vayivez. He wanted the physical world not to relate it to the spiritual, not to subdue it to the spiritual. He wanted the physical world for the physical world itself. And that was by nature Esav. He was Adumi. Adumi. He was red. Red represents physicality, right? Sa'ar, hair, represents physicality. Connection to the physical world. That's why people have long hair. They're connected to the physical world. You know, just an example, the hippies, right? You know, free, you know, everyone's friends with everyone, free life. I don't know what I'm saying, but you understand what I'm saying. It's connection. It's connect hair. Long hair generally means connection. Short hair, Buddhists, short hair or no hair, means disconnection from the physical. So you understand the concept, that's what hair represents. So now, when Esav gave off his Bechorah, and Yaakov, in this episode, when Esav came, Ayef, from the field, right? He bought the Bechorah from Esav, right? On Abraham Avinu's, the day that Abraham Avinu died, right? So Abraham Avinu wouldn't see his grandson go to Tabubra, right? Now Yaakov, that he bought the Bechorah, Yaakov had a different purpose. Yaakov's purpose now became, right? Instead of holding onto the legs of Esav and subduing Esav to the spirituality, right? Yaakov now's purpose was to prevent Esav from doing Ra. Holding onto Esav and preventing him from doing Ra. Preventing him to become the complete physical person. Not only that, he got from Esav his purpose. So now Yaakov, instead of being Ishtam Yoshev Olim, he now had to interact with the physical world and bring the physical world into the spiritual. So now,
so Yaakov had to do all of that.
All of that, right. So therefore, that now when we see the brachas of Yitzhak to Yaakov, and right, when he thought that he was Esav, but he thought that Esav was fixed, so he gave the brachas on condition. Because when you're involved in the physical world, there's always a chance that when you have too much physicality, you're going to forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Like we say, Parshas Ekev, right? Interesting, Parshas Ekev, Yaakov. We see that in the Parshas Ekev, it says, right? Batim Tovim Yivne, you build big houses, good houses, big houses, right? And what's going to happen? V'shachacht et Hashem Elokecha. You forget God, your Lord. That's why what you have to do? Make Birkas Hamazon, to remember God. When you're full, you have all the food inside of you, right? Who needs God, right? You're full, you have everything you need, you're satiated. Bracha. That's the only bracha we have, which is Midaraisa. Because when you're satiated, you don't need God. When you're poor and you don't have, you need God. Right? You understand what I'm saying? So that's the fear of physicality. The fear of physicality is having and then forgetting Kodesh Baruch Hu. So therefore, bracha, the bracha that Yaakov was given was a bracha on condition. That so long as he's subduing the physical world to the spiritual, he's going to get bracha in the physical world. If not, the bracha is going to be taken away from him. And who's it going to go to? Esav came in crying, didn't give me bracha. Esav got the brachas of the physical world without any conditions. Mishmane ha'aretz, Moshe Avecha. Right? You understand? He got it without any conditions. So, after Esau was did what he did about the blessings, what happened? What happened? Esau now has no fixing. Esau is in the world to enjoy. To satiate from the world, he has no fixing. That's what Chazal say. Esau appears, Esau is associated with the pig, the chazir, right? You don't know what he said. So what he says, he shows his clues as if he's kosher, but he doesn't chew the cud. His internality isn't kosher. Like Chazal say, the Rome represents Esau. So like Chazal say, what do? The Romans made order in the world. They built bridges, they built bathhouses, they built shvakim, they built like big commerce places. If you notice, that's what Esav does. He fixes the world, he puts the world in order. So it's a Gemara in Lamed Gimel in Shabbos on the base, there's a Machlokas Tanaim there. But Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, this is why he ran away from Rome. He said they all did it for their own self-indulgence. They built bridges for taxes, they built bathhouses to have physical promiscuity. So Zona, Beit Zot, whatever. And then it says, and they built, what other thing I said? Shvakim, no, Shvakim for promiscuity, and bathhouses, I've forgotten now. But the Gemara says they all did it for their physical desire. It wasn't done to put order in the world. Order was the world to enjoy the world for the world. That's Esav. Esav is a sui. I'm fixed. I just need to enjoy. From the point of view of that, Esav doesn't have any premiums. He appears. We have universities. We have things. We have, you know, we can talk philosophy. There's a famous story about Aristotle. Aristotle, famous, right?
Okay, Greek. The Greeks are
Esav. Yeah. Esav, yeah, it's Greek represents also. We're going to see Greeks, even though it's comes from Yefet, but it represents, the Greek concept represents the... So, because all of the Western world comes from Greece. Concepts of, you know, it comes all from Greek philosophy. So Aristotle was once found in a not proper place. You can understand what I'm saying? Like with a woman, right? So Aristotle answered, now I'm not Aristotle. In other words, Aristotle, the brilliant mind, who the Rambam said had a brilliant mind, who could understand things which were amazing. The same Aristotle could find himself doing things which animals do. And what was the answer? I'm not Aristotle at the moment. In other words, his mind and his doing, his body, are separate. Now, in the burial of Yitzchak, the burial of Yaakov, Esav didn't want Yaakov to be buried in the Ma'arat HaMachpelah, and he came. And Hushin ben Dan saw, in the Ma'arat HaMachpelah, the Ma'arat HaMachpelah in Hebron, where all the Zugot are buried. Adam and Chava, right? Avram and Sarah, right? All the double, right? Yitzchak and Rivka, Leah and Roh and Yaakov. Yaakov died in Egypt and was taken out by Yosef to be buried. Esav came not to allow it. Hushin bin Dan, this is Rashi I'm telling you, Hushin bin Dan came out and he didn't hear all the discussion. Came out, just saw Esav protesting about doing it, and came and knocked off his head. Says Chazal, the head of Esav, in other words, Esav and Yaakov died on the same day, the head of Esav was Midgalgel, fell and was buried in the Ma'arat HaMachpelah. The goof, the body of Esav was not. Chazal don't tell us where the body was buried, but we know that the head of Esav was buried in the Ma'arat HaMachpelah. That's Rashi says, it's Chazal. What's that coming to teach us? Obviously, Chumash, Rashi, like anything in Chazal, they're not coming to tell you children's stories, right? They're coming to tell you a very important message. The Marat Machpelah represents Chevron. Is in Chevron. Chevron is Chibur to Nun. Chibur to Nun is where a person's buried. This is something you understand about Kivrot Tzadikim. Where people are buried, if it's a Tzadik, so it's connecting to Nun Sha'arei Bina, to the upper worlds. So Chevron means Chibur of Nun, the connection to the Nun, connection to the higher worlds. Why is connection? Because who was buried there? Adam HaRishon and Chava, Avraham and Sarah, Yitzchak and Rivka, Yaakov and Leah. That means the others, right? There's a reason why Rachel wasn't buried there. That's a separate shir. The others were born there. The foundations of the Jewish nation are there. That's why it's called Chevron. Right, Kiryat Arba, Chevron, there's a reason Kiryat Arba, the Arba Anakim Shayu Shamab, the Arba Zugot, these four pairs that were there. When you learn, you'll understand that a bit more. And that was a Chibur to Nun. But Esau's head was there. So it means somehow Esau's head was connected to spirituality, not his guf. And that's what Chazal's telling us, that Esau can understand spirituality. He can't bring it to reality. His head is dislocated, his ideas are dislocated from his actions. That's the problem of Esav. Okay? Clear? I'm just telling you how Chazal look at it. And I told you the story of Aristotle, which goes well with that. Okay? Now, what the Rambam comes and tells us, that Islam and Christianity is a good thing. It's not good in terms of, you know, for a Jew. He said it's a good thing that came to the world, that brought the world away from idol worship and brought them to a concept of one God. I mean, both those religions proclaim to say that they're the extension of Judaism, right? And there's a very important lesson. This, a lot of people don't know this. It's a machlokas. It's a machlokas in the Rishonim. But some people say that, first of all, that person, I call him, you know who I'm talking about, that person who walked on the water, right? Yoshka, yeah, Yoshka. He was a Talmud, he was a Tana, he was a Tana.
Is it said this in the Gemara?
Yeah, he was a Tana. He was a Tana, he was a Talmud, I think of Rabbi Yeshua. It was a time, Rabbi Yeshua, it was a time of the destruction of the second Beis Hamikdash. I think he was around the time of maybe Rabbi Akiva even, or a little after. Rabbi Akiva was also a Talmud, really, as a Rabbi Yeshua. He didn't have a good home upbringing. Chazal say it wasn't an immaculate conception, rather he was a little bit, maybe someone else gave birth to it with his mother, if you can understand what I'm saying. It wasn't a kosher Jew. Might be the. So that's what they meant by immaculate conception, if you understand what I'm saying. Okay? Alright. Okay. So now, he was a Talmud, Rabbi Yeshua, that means he was a Tana. Every Tana and Amora, certainly the Tanaim, had the ability to resurrect dead. There's a Gemara. A Tana had the ability to resurrect dead. The Koch. So these nisim that were said about this person, he apparently brought down, I'm not exactly sure where, but I've heard this, but this doesn't really make it. But he had koach to do what he had. These kochot that had a lot of people at the time did have. He was a big sakana to Klal Yisrael. Why? Because at the time, it was a time of Golos. The Torah was being fought, right? The Romans, Esav, was fighting us, right? They didn't allow us to teach Torah, right? Rabbi Akiva was caught, and he was, you know, all the 10 martyrs, they were caught and they were killed. The world was shamem. All the leaders of the Torah people were being persecuted, the Jewish people were being persecuted. Comes a person and says, the main thing is love your neighbor as yourself. The main thing is don't worry about the Durabonim. He wasn't saying Duraisis. They kept Shabbos, they kept the Duraisis. He was saying, don't worry about these things. He was similar to the Sadducees in a sense, but he was charismatic, and there was a worry. There was a big worry. There's a lot of the non-Jews flocked to him, the pagan non-Jews, right? I mean, you know the stories from history. And also there was a fear of Jews going to him. Remember, this is a time of persecution. It's a time of, right? So this is a very difficult time for the Jewish people. Some people say that Paul, this is Rashi and Machzor Vitri, say that Paul was sent by the Chachamim many years later, to separate Christianity from Judaism. In order that they wouldn't be, that they would be so different that the Jews wouldn't be enticed to go there. That's one opinion. So one opinion is that Paul was a tzaddik. He was a frum Jew that went in, gave his life up, right, in order to save the Jewish people for assimilation. That's Rashi. Rashi says this opinion.
Where does he say that?
In the Machzor Vitri. Is it Sefer Tshuvas? The Machzor Vitri. Opinion that Paul was a Rasha, and he wasn't from. He was just. He was an Apikara, whatever you want to call him. He was a Rasha. That's the normal opinion. I'm just telling you what Rashi says.
What?
Yeah. Saint Paul. Christianity is basically, what was the concept? This is a Greek concept. It was a combination of Avodah Zarah and Judaism together. They took the concept of the Greek gods. What's a Greek god? The Greek gods is the gods in heavens come down in man form. So that's what this basically is. They took the Greek pagan idea of God coming down to man. And they, obviously, they only believe in one god. So it can be the one god, not the many gods of the pagan Greek at the time. And that was their concept of God. Yeshu came down in the form of God. That's why he had to have immaculate conception and all these other things, right? And then, what did he come and tell to the people? He was killed for the people. Why? Because, what does that mean? You, Esav, right? You, the Western world, you, Esav, you cannot live a spiritual life. Your head is disconnected from your body. So how am I going to fix you? Believe in me. Believe in me. And you don't have to do any mitzvahs. Just believe in me and I will suffer your suffering and I will take your sins and I will die for your sins and you'll go to Gan Eden. You understand? You understand why that's a tikkun of Esav? Esav can't fix himself. So someone else comes and says, right? We'll be instead of you. We'll be the korban instead of you. You do whatever you want. Just, you know, within limits. Try to be good, but you're going to fail, right? You're going to fail. And knowing that you're going to fail, belief in me will take you to Gan Eden, will take you to the world to come. Right? Since Esav can't fix himself, the only fixing of Esav, he can be in ideology, he can think the highest of thoughts. Right? You know? So they can think of, you know, the most altruistic thoughts. Like, you know, if someone hits you, show the other cheek. But it's not practical. It's not practical. Bush, right? When the Twin Towers were bombed. Why didn't you bomb NASA as well? Show the other cheek. That's what you did? No, you went and bombed them. It's not practical. Someone says, if you're at war, you show the other cheek. The Crusades would show the other cheek. Tell me where, how, in which case you show the other cheek. It's just a nonsensical concept. But in thought, it sounds great. You know, if you're a good liberal, it sounds great. But in practical, we never say that. Someone comes to kill you, Hashem lo ogo. Kill him first. Get up early and get him. He's coming to kill you. What, you should wait?
Christians are terribly.
That's why Christianity for Esav has to be that way. Now, it's not that they say not to be good people. And that's why it is a good thing. If it just said, be a bad person and I'll save you, then it would have been a bad thing to the world. The Rambam wouldn't have praised it. But they say, try and be good, but you're not going to succeed. And that's true about Esav. Esav is not going to succeed. He can try. Esav can try and not succeed. That's the maximum Esav can get to. Unless he's mekabel. He's mekabel. Like you can. Even Esav, it's a little bit of a gerus. You become the Zion mitzvahs b'nei Noach. So wherever a religion has within it the seven mitzvahs of Bein Noach, so that's something which can happen. Right? So the more aspects of Christianity which is closer to the Zion mitzvahs of Bein Noach, right? The seven Noahite commandments, right? But even the closer they are to bringing the world into a better place. You understand what I'm saying? And they do believe in one God. Now, when I say they do believe in one God, that's in a corollary. Because from a Jewish point of view, if you pray to the soul of someone, like you're praying to his soul, and he represents, he's going to pray for you, or he's going to bring you your shefa, bring you your whatever you need, according to Chazal, that is a avodah zarah. So it means, I don't know which sect of Christianity prayed to him, right? Or which sect of Christianity prayed to God directly, and he's just a representation of God in this world. But he's, no, you're not praying to him, you're praying to the one God. If you're praying to the one God, that's a belief in monotheism. If you pray to him, that's idol worship from a Jewish point of view. Right, but it's still much better than the idol worship that was beforehand. That you have many deities. It still brought the concept of one God to the world. You understand? Okay, so let's paint a little bit more. So basically, after the sin of Adam and Eve, right, the world went to a separation of good and bad. So Cain and Hevel. Hevel represent the good in the world. Cain represent the Ra in the world. All Ra came from Cain. When we learn about Tzitzis and Shatnes, you'll notice that there's a midrash there that Shatnes came from wool, which represented Hevel, and Cain represents Pishta. Pishta is always associated with Ra, with evil. They were Ovdei Pishta, right? So then you had seven generations of Cain, and then you had Tuvel Cain, who, what did he do? He made instruments for killing. Right? And then he killed his great-great-grandfather. Right? And he was killed by his father. Right? Then he's done something. It was seven generations. Those, the seven levels of impurity in the world. That's what they represent. Till Tuvel Cain. He was the spitz of the, you know? Spitz, he was the tool, right? He was the end of that. Then you had 10 generations... from Shem, you had Shem was the Gilgul of Hevel, till Noach, and Noach was the purification of the good in the world. Right? Shem, then you had Noach, Noach represented was a Gilgul of Shem, and Moshe Rabbeinu was a Gilgul of Noach, as I'll say. B'shagam hupasa is Moshe, Gematria Moshe. Okay, anyway, I'm just saying quickly. So, after you had the 10 generations of Noach, the world began to have a different form. We now, Kol HaYikum was destroyed. Yikum, Gematria, Kain. Yikum is Gematria, Kain. So, Kol HaYikum, HaYikum was, I think, Gematria, Kain, right? That means that it's brought down. So all the world went to a high level. The world of the seven generations of time was destroyed. If you understand, before Noah, I'm just explaining this, before Noah, the animals and man were interacting. In other words, and the higher spiritual beings and the Nephilim were marrying men. And men were marrying animals. I.e., the world became completely physical. If you understood with Cain, right? Tubal Cain thought that his great-great-grandfather Cain was an animal. He looked like an animal. So he shot him, he killed him. That was before we were allowed to kill animals for eating. You understand? That was Ra. He was doing Averis. We're doing not doing the right thing. Then the world, so we became like the animals. Then the world was destroyed, the flood, and we had now animals for eating, right? Or for serving us. That was the purpose. So now we separated from the animals. Noah generations separated from the animals. We brought them as korbanos. We brought them as ways. The physical world became as a way of serving God. Still wasn't finished. After Parshas Noach, we had Tower of Babel. The day again, like I already explained, they wanted to create a place in Babel where it's called Shinar. Why is it called Shinar? Rashi says, I'm telling you all Rashi. Rashi says Shininaru Meite Mabul. All the people of the Mabul were buried there. I.e. represented the place, the lower place. That period in that part of the world was the lowest place. Babel is the lowest place, right? It represents the antithesis of Jerusalem. The antithesis of the Beis HaMikdash, they wanted to create a Migdal Babel. They wanted to put smuchim, Rashi says, to hold the heavens up. What do they want to create? They want to create a place in which we weren't dependent on our actions to bring the influence of God into the world. They couldn't recognize God. They just wanted to separate the world from God. They wanted the world to be an independent place. Right? They wanted to be the people bringing the Shefer into the world. They wanted to live, and the Shefer would come in, the influence would come to the world without any connection to their actions. You know what I mean? That, so God, this was explained, language, Lashon HaKodesh is intrinsic language. You can understand the world, you can understand the world intrinsically, and then you can dabble with the world. So you can actually, so to speak, fight God. You can understand. You can be God. Chas v'shalom. Right? That's Avodah Zarah. That's what we were saying. That's why. So now, the changing of language and the separating of the people made language now not something which was intrinsic, rather something was in agreement with how you understand something. We call this a cat because I call it a cat, you call it a cat. In German, you call it, well, I don't know what you call it. You call it something else, right? Because everyone agrees that's what it is. It's not something intrinsic. But in Lashon HaKodesh, everything is intrinsic. A para, a cow is called a para, because para varaba. It has many, many things that give fruit. It's milk, it's meat, it's children, whatever. That's a para, right? I'm not saying it's the only concept of para. There's lots of concepts of para, because para represents also din. There's lots of things there in the Lashon which are intrinsic to understand the world. It tells you about the world itself. Language is just going to be a model of the world. It's going to be how man can conceive the world, but not intrinsically conceive it. How he can understand it. So now he can't change, he can't understand God intrinsically. He can't then dabble with God. So that solved the problem. Then we come to the end of Parshas Noach, and Avraham was born 10 generations later. The world comes to a new level of Avraham Avinu. Until Avraham, Charon Af. We say, why is the Nun Hafucha of Charan? Right, he went out from Charan. Because till Abraham was Charon Af in the world, there's anger of God in the world. That's Nun Hafucha. Nun Hafucha represents, the Nun is the opposite way in which it's going. Nun represents the 50 levels of spirituality, also the 50 levels of impurity. From Avraham Avinu, from Lech Lecha, we have the beginning of the Biru, of the creation of the Jewish people. Right? The Biru, the separation of Ra from good. So Abraham had a separation of Esau, which represented the Ra from him. Then Yitzchak had a separation of, sorry, no, of Yishmael Abraham had. And then Esau had the separation of Esau. Sorry, sorry. And then Yitzchak had, Esau was the separation from him, the Ra in the world. And Yaakov was Ishalem. If it wasn't for the fighting between the brothers and Yosef, then we would have gone into Egypt not in the deep goddess that we went in. We would have gone into Egypt with Yaakov Avinu, with Shlemus, and we would have come out. And the purpose of going to Egypt, I didn't explain this, but it's a very funny story with Noach, right? That the first thing he did was drink wine. And that his sons, then it tells about his sons, and his son Ham, which had Canaan, which Eretz Yisrael is Eretz Canaan, right? Ham represented still the Ra within Esau, the physical Ra. So the intellectual Ra is going to be Yefet, it's going to be Greece, right? That's going to be more, Ham is going to be more the physical world, and Yefet is going to be more the intellectual world, we're going to see. So now, that was conquered, that was going to be, Noah tried to fix it by drinking wine. I can't explain this fully, but it's similar to drinking wine on Purim, and it's similar to Nadav Avihu, the drinking of wine of Nadav Avihu on Yom Kippur. They were trying to fix the lower worlds. In order to fix the lower worlds, you can only fix it bli das, without having cognitive thinking. Because if you have cognitive thinking, you're going to mess up. So that's what Noah tried to do. What happened with Ham was there was a kilkul. There was a, how you say, there was a, he didn't fix it. He was actually trying to fix Ham, trying to fix the physical world. And this concept of what happened with Ham was a not a fixing. Or he had relations with him, that means he was connecting to him. Or he made him unable to have children. That means he now no longer could be proactive in the world, whatever. He didn't fix. Nadav Avihu also tried to fix, and on Purim, we try and fix. It's a similar concept, these concepts. But he failed to fix it. Now, Egypt was from Ham. Canaan was from Ham. When the Jewish people went into Egypt and tried to fix, they were there to fix Egypt. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu, when we came out on the 40th level, 49th level of impurity. We didn't come out completely. We should have been there for 400 years. We were only there for 210 years. B'chipazon yatzu Mitzrayim. We came out too quickly. We were supposed to fix it and bring out all the nitzotzot ha-kedusha, all the sparks of kedusha from it. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu brought out the Erev Rav. They weren't fixed. They were a mixture of good and bad. Because we weren't there enough time to fix it, right? So we brought them out with the bad in them. And if you notice, after the Midbar, all the problems with the Jewish people, it was because of the Erev Rav, right? Then we go to Eretz Yisrael, which is Eretz Canaan, and we're there to fix and to destroy all the Ra in the world. They're the Shorash Hara, right? Except for Amalek, who's the crown of the Ra, which came from Esav. It came from Eliphaz, you're going to see Eliphaz's relation with Timnah. Yeah. We'll see, we'll learn a bit. That was the destruction of the Ra. So all this process of the Jewish people, that even in the Midbar, going to Midbar was a process of removing the Ra. That's what the whole of Chumash is. That's what the whole of the Jewish people's life is. That's why what it means that Yaakov Inu is Ekev. He's holding on to Esau, preventing Ra in the world. The Jewish people represent the sole people to prevent the Ra in the world. That's why when there's Ra in the world, the first people they fight is us. German. Throughout history, the first people, or the people who evolve, is us. We get onto us. Because we represent holding the Ra in the world. Huh? You understand? That's the concept. All the Gelen and Chumash is that's the concept. That's what we were speaking about on Thursday. You understand now? Make sense? And that's now, why is Christianity a good thing? Because Christianity is taking what Esau is. That's why they don't have mitzvahs. They don't have commandments. Right? They just, it's a good deed to do. You can do it or you cannot do it. Right? But, because they don't have, in the sense, they have the equal. The world is a world of suffering. The way they remove themselves from this world of suffering is by believing in their concept of God. They can believe in the real God, right? There are Christians who believe in monotheism, and then they don't have mitzvahs. They just try and be as much as they can godly-like, right? But they're not going to succeed because Esau can't succeed. But it's still better that they try. So Christianity is a good thing for the world because it brings the non-Jews to a concept, brings Esau to a concept of belief in one God and to try and be a better human being. Right? You understand what I'm saying? It doesn't have an obligation as it to try them. You understand?